Our scripture today is actually the lectionary. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you want to make a note of it, the parallel scriptures are Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, and Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 20. One day, Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret, which is the same as Lake Tiberias, Lake Kinneret, or the Sea of Galilee, whichever your Bible says. The crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the gravity of the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they too were amazed. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so like I was trying to do with Peter, and then I don't think probably most of you could hear me, sorry. Let's take a moment to try to put ourselves in this moment. So the Sea of Galilee has both white sandy beaches and rocky beaches. The water is a beautiful turquoise. Eucalyptus trees might be swaying in the cool Mediterranean breeze. In the distance, all the way around the north and far sides of the lake are huge cliffs. They're so big that they're referred to as mountains most of the time. Often there are storm clouds that lend way to large waves here. But today it's probably clearer and milder. Right now it's morning, near dawn. Here and there along the shore, you can see fishermen with the boats pulled to shore who are repairing and cleaning muck off their boats and supplies from a long night on the water. They're readying themselves for the transition to today. Most of them are probably discouraged, though. They've likely not caught much due to the large Roman boats that have been catching the fish before the fish can get to the shallower waters the locals tend to fish in. But diligently, the fishermen tend to their jobs, prepping their items to be ready for the next night. Now they are ready to go home and rest with their families as they finish their tasks. Then you have 30-year-old Jesus standing near the water, ruminating on God's word. As usual, he has been seeking an earthly spot to be near with his Father. And as usual, when people spot him, they begin crowding him. But far be it from Jesus to not seize a chance to share his Father, especially when he's already in the zone, like he was already there meditating on it. So to refresh ourselves about some of what's been going on with Jesus lately, he too has been preparing. Recently, he has been baptized by his cousin John, who will soon be arrested and imprisoned. And so thus freshly and uniquely consecrated, he then spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and denying the devil's attempts at temptation. Then going back to teach in the synagogues, people were absolutely amazed by him because he is who he is, which we know. And we can't imagine not being amazed by him. But they were so amazed that they begged him to stay with them. And at his refusal to stay on as the spiritual doctor in Nazareth, they were so upset about it that they threw rocks at him until he left. Like, that's how you get somebody to stay, right? And then around this time is when John was arrested also. Then not very far from the beach we're in today, in Capernaum, so John baptized and did his ministry along the Jordan River, which connects the Dead Sea down here to the Sea of Galilee up here, which the whole thing is parallel to the Mediterranean Sea, which is why we still get the cool, salty breeze, even though we're at a lake. And so John had been down here, so Jesus went from the Jordan to Nazareth, kind of over here, closer to the Mediterranean Sea. And then now he's up north by the Galilee, which technically Nazareth is in Galilee, but it's like right on the edge. So now he's up in the north area of Galilee, by the lake, near Capernaum. He went home with one of his cousin John's disciples, Simon. And he would go home with him after he taught in the synagogues all day on the Sabbath. So one day he healed his mother-in-law from a terrible illness. She was racked with a fever that no one could get to go away. And word spread so fast that that same day by sunset, people wrought with physical and spiritual illnesses, which in their day were one and the same. They thought they were caused by each other. They were brought to him in droves until daybreak finally came along. Jesus went to a place where no one was, but the crowds continued to seek him out. When his friends found him and told him the crowds were seeking him, he urged them that he was needed in more than one city. And so then they left so he could teach in other places too. And now this is very soon after that, he's left Capernaum, and he's been teaching in other areas nearby, and now he's kind of like at this beach that's kind of close to Capernaum, but it's not in Capernaum. So no matter when or where he goes, people seek him out and crowd around him. He's willing to teach, but he continues not to seek the crowds, but to seek God. He's seeking the closeness with God, which seems strange for us to think. We think Jesus is God. Like, it's hard to imagine that he would feel departed from him and feel the need to seek him, but that is what he constantly did. So on this day at our humble beach in Galilee, this kind of thing is occurring. A crowd is forming around Jesus, and he walks over to Simon Peter and asks him to row out a little way so he can sit down and address the crowd from the boat. Of course, Peter obliges. Peter is already recognizing him as a teacher. Probably less expected was when he was done teaching, Jesus says to Peter something like, these are going to be my words, hey, let's go fishing. To which Peter is like, hey man, I'm already worn out. We've been out there all night. We've not caught anything. If you say so, sure. So then he goes out with Jesus, catches more than he's probably ever dreamed of catching, and then he looks inwardly, and he's completely overwhelmed. He falls before Jesus and exclaims about how unworthy he feels, how unworthy he very much is. And Jesus is like, yo, dude, I know, but follow me. I'll make you worthy, and it will get even better than this. So Jesus' vision for his ministry was not merely teaching in the synagogues like he's been doing, going around trying to cast out the demons in people's heads. And besides, there were already plenty of other rabbis trying to do that. That's not him. He's not the same. He can do that. He's perfectly capable, as he has been showing everyone. Although the other rabbi obviously can't do it as effectively as the Son of God, which we know. But back then, it was much more surprising. So he basically told Peter, okay, now that I've shown you what your dream looks like, I'm telling you to dream bigger. In fact, if you align your dream with mine, it will change you and even the world. Simon was in so much debt to Jesus and to others. But through Simon Peter, we see exactly what is required to follow Jesus. He changed who he was entirely. At Jesus' bequest, he even became Peter. In order for everything he knew to change, he had to be willing to change himself. Jesus' blessing and promise is to take us all as we are, as his own, and he will pour God's love into us as long as we're willing to keep watching for where he leads us. And we all have dreams, don't we? It's part of being alive, kind of. Whether we think they're realistic or achievable, we still have them. So does anybody want to share some of their dreams? Or a dream, or an inkling of a dream? I have an obvious dream going on. I was going to have Mom ask you to write this down for me last week so you couldn't get out of, Y'all don't have dreams? You don't know who they are? Yeah.
I'll tell you a dream that I have. That I've been dreaming for a number of years and it hasn't happened yet. I would dearly love to have a close relationship with Jesus where I feel like, you know, I have a devotion that I listen to and they say the same thing on each one and it's like, my heart hears you calling, here I come, Lord. But I never feel that presence, maybe once or twice in my entire life, but I want to feel it every day. And I don't know if I'm just not focusing enough or what, but that's one of my dreams is before I pass, that I actually feel him here on earth. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I know if it doesn't happen here, it will happen there.
Yeah, I've said whether we believe we can achieve them or not. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Well, this isn't exactly what you want, but how many of you have dreamed you're flying?
Yes.
In a dream. And I love that sensation. So that's my hope, that I'm going to fly away someday. And I'll be up there flying, y'all. That's just a pro.
All the stars will be flying up there.
You know, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I only sort of step into that. But in some of the prophets did see people flying.
Really?
And some of them, you know, like Enoch, he got to rise up.
Yeah.
So you never know. Anybody else have something they want to share? Okay. Well, when we think about our dreams, do we automatically consider our dreams for our churches? Do we consider those part of our dreams? We probably do all have them. When we think about our dreams, are these taken into account? And are we willing to take ownership of them and try to make them happen? So I want you to think about, sort of along these lines, what would your dream church look like? It doesn't have to be applied to this church or any church specifically. Like if you started a church from scratch and all decisions were left to you, it could be anywhere with any sort of budget and options available, what would that church look like? I think it would be cool, you don't have to do it right now, but like write some of those ideas down. And keep in mind that dreams are not simple end goals. Those are definitely part of it, but you have to think about the journey to get to them. What does that look like?
Yeah.
And then later consider, what is stopping your dream, or even aspects of your dream, from becoming reality? And B, why or are you afraid to share these dreams? That's always a big one for me, personally. Jesus was rejected. He was put to death for his dream, and even starting out, he knew that was a crucial step in it. And he still furthered it and pressed it for it to be action. And it literally defines his life. When we think of him, we see his dream clearly. There is no doubt in what he was trying to achieve, what he achieved. And I totally get why we don't share our dreams, because I'm guilty of not exploring some of my dreams myself. And I'm sure some of you do that too. I even found where I wrote a couple of years ago, it says, if I tell you all this, would you get me? Would you know what I mean? And then it follows with a plea to unite the dream and to not turn it down without even hearing it out. Which that reflection tells me all I need to know about why some of mine don't become true. I'm too afraid to have them shut down without even being understood that I don't even finish forming them. But instead of going into why that could be or what those dreams may have been, let's talk solutions. Because we all have both dreams that have become burdens that we buried ourselves and ones that have not worked out the way we envisioned them, no matter what the reasons that is the way it turned out for us individually. As Jesus showed Peter, there is no better way to see our dreams succeed than to tangle them with his and to follow him to their realizations. Like Peter, on our own, we are overwhelmed. We need assistance to further our dreams, especially if we want our dreams to outlive us. Together, we can maybe even make some of the dreams we already have become real. Together, we can dream bigger and make sure they're legit awesome. And maybe someday, will never happen if dreamers don't decide to give their dreams a fighting chance. In so many places in the Bible, we're shown that God has dreams and plans for us. Do you want me to show you the specific scriptures? It's this whole thing. We see him in our whole Bible yearning for us to dream with him. And that could probably be the message today in itself, but I've got some unsolicited advice to come next. What really stands out to me as I go back and forth from passages in the Bible is where we see the rise of God's church. It's never achieved by people looking to make church comfortable for themselves and building temples and urging people to come into them. Like, think of Moses. He had a stutter. He's like, God, you're having me speak in front of these people. I'm not comfortable up there. But he did it. He didn't do it on his own. We don't know exactly what Moses' dream was, probably to be out of trouble with the Pharaoh, which happened, sort of, but once he aligned his dream with Jesus, with God. Or look at Jonah. God told Jonah to go save his enemy, people that he didn't even think deserved to be saved. He's like, nope, I'm not doing that. He went and tried to hide from God, and we know what God thought of that. He got swallowed by a fish. It's like, that's the option. It might have been a whale, as Peter says. My Peter. It might have been a whale. But when he finally did go, it was really hard. He was in enemy territory, literally with people he could not stand and that also hated him. That was not comfortable. But he got the job done, and God took care of him. The people that are the most successful are not the ones that go around with the intent to bring people to themselves. Yes, there are all sorts of people and methods that inspire people to walk closer with God. Something they all have in common, at least when I look, is that it's when people focus on making themselves more holy. They're always eager for that closeness with God that some of us desire, hopefully all of us. But the understanding of God's vision and believing firmly in it. This bonded love grows so strong, but as yet, these people are divided by the sins of the earth from God, so they still don't feel close enough. They don't question God's direction, though, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, or does, but usually doesn't, to their comprehension of what is right, or what is logical, or what they thought God had in mind. And in any single thing, or variety of things, and everything that happens, they're prayerful and asking God for his take and his direction, whether it's a large decision or a small decision. Or like Jesus and some of the prophets, they know him well enough to already know what he says, or to even be able to quote scripture, because they still had the Old Testament, they still had the history. Not all of them, some of them were new to the faith. But it's the going to God that's what counts. These people, like Jesus, are trying to find time and places to be still and listening only for God's voice. They're being obedient and humble to walk back and both apologize and make it right when they do misunderstand or make choices in error. Okay, well, Jesus didn't do that one, I guess. But that's because he was never in error, not because it wasn't a necessary part. They share God's response with anyone and everyone because they know he's the answer to all of the things. So the Bible tells us that God does not want to keep secrets from us. He longs for us to want to know him well enough to take the time to understand him. Can you imagine being able to see like a prophet? Seeing the fiery chariots? There's so many, like the angels and the... It blows my mind, I can't even talk about it. But knowing God's vision well enough that it literally becomes visible. Your dreams don't have to be exhausting or impossible or lonely. You don't have to be afraid of them ending, ever. You don't have to be unworthy of them. On the verge of his own dream, Peter was not overjoyed. Instead, he was crushed. But Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. Follow me."